This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Imagine a setting where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting with all of his companions. And at this sitting, the companions start letting loose tears. And as these tears come down, they remember that the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is indeed imminent. And the famous companion, and the illustrious and noble companion, Arba'd ibn Sariyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates this story beautifully. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while sitting with us one day, gave us an admonition that made the hearts tremble and filled the eyes with tears. And after this we said, Ya Rasulullah, advise us, for indeed it seems like a farewell advice. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I advise you with taqwa of Allah azza wa jal, and I advise you with hearing and obeying, even if a slave gains empowerment over you. And indeed, those of you who live shall see much differing. So stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of my rightly guided khulafa. In this famous and concise advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised every single Muslim today, as we live in much confusion, and we live in smoke and in grey matters. A lot of us do not know what to do. But brothers and sisters, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave a single bird that flaps its wings in the air, except that he gave us knowledge about it, as Salman and Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu has informed us and have narrated. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to us as a warner to all of mankind, informing us of all that was good and warning us against all that was evil. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made clear to us, as Ibn Majah narrates once again, قَدْ تَرَقْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. That indeed I have left you upon a clear white plain. Its night is distinct and clear from its day, and no one deviates from it except that he is destroyed. So Islam is not a religion of confusion. It's not a religion of different, but rather it is a clear whiteness, as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. And this clear whiteness revolves around two key legislations. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His very speech, also known as the Qur'an. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, often referred to as the hikmah or the wisdom as well. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions two eloquent and beautiful verses of poetry where he says, وَالْجَهْلُ دَاءٌ قَاتِلٌ وَشِفَاؤُهُ أَمْرَانِ فِي التَّرْكِيبِ مُتَّفِقَانِ نَصٌ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ مِنْ سُنَّةٍ وَالطَّبِيبُ ذَاكَ الْعَالِمُ الرَّبَّانِ. That indeed, ignorance is a deadly disease, and its cure lies in two things, or its cure is composed of two key components, a text from the Qur'an or a text from the Sunnah. And indeed, the doctor to this sickness or the doctor to this disease is an alim, which is a Rabbani, or an alim which nurtures his students and teaches them that which they need to know right away, rather than that knowledge which may benefit them in the future. So these are two key components that we need to realize, brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left us in confusion. He has not left us in smoke, but rather has given us an answer for everything in the Quran and the Sunnah. This having been said, let us take a look at one of the more eloquent verses in the Quran, which is in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 59. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority amongst you. If you differ in anything, then return it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Indeed, that is if you believe in Allah and the Last Day, and indeed this is the best of understandings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this noble ayah calls out the people of Iman and calls out those people of faith, and He says, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. So from the very beginning of this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making clear whom we have unconditional obedience to. It is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. And then likewise, as life takes its toll, there will be people who will have authority above us. From them are our parents and our elders and our supervisors and our bosses and other than them. But what is our obedience to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise in His divine wisdom makes it quite clear over here as well. When He says, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants to make it unconditional obedience, He says, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ. As for the أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, or those people who have authority amongst you, then it is not unconditional. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, وَأَطِيعُوا أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, but rather He just left it as an addition to الرَّسُولُ. So it was understood. And this is not something which is unconditional. So anything that they say that which is good, we obey them in it. And anything that is evil or unjust and incorrect, then it is upon the Muslim to leave it as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to say that if you differ in anything, فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, that if you differ in anything, then return it indeed to Allah and His Messenger. The illustrious companions and our ideal examples, they interpreted from this that during the life that the indeed returning something back to Allah was indeed taking it back to the Quran. And as for taking it back to the Prophet ﷺ, during his lifetime they would resort to him, and after his death they would look to his Sunnah. And this is likewise what we have to do today. In any matter, whether it be a worldly matter or a dini matter, we should always start off by seeking the aid and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to find firstly its solution in the Quran and the Sunnah. And if the Quran and the Sunnah does not give us an explicit advice or an explicit answer, then indeed it has left us with those principles that we need to survive in our daily lives. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not leave His slaves and His creation to go astray, to lead them their own selves to destruction. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rabb, and He is the Lord, and He possesses those attributes of Lordship where He sustains His creation and He provides for them not only a rizq that they need for their worldly lives, but for their spiritual lives as well. So in any matter that one may face in life, whether it be a worldly matter or a matter pertaining to the religion, the answer lies in returning back to the Quran and the Sunnah. And this was seen even during the time of the companions, that you have Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that they would say, you quote to me Abu Bakr and Umar, and I quote to you Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I fear if you continue to tread this path that Allah would send down stones from the sky to punish you. This was the attitude that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, that even two illustrious and noble companions, the likes of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you were to take his iman and the iman of the whole ummah, indeed the former would outweigh the latter. And Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about, that if indeed there was a Prophet after me, it would have been Umar, and there is no Prophet after me. So this was the position that they had with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the stance that they had in Islam, the first two khulafa, and Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describing them as al-khulafa al-rashideen. That even if their opinions come to us in opposing the clear and evident text of the Quran and the Sunnah, it is upon the believer to respectfully resort to the Quran and Sunnah alone. Now often matters arise where people will quote the saying of so and so, and the saying of another imam, or the saying of another scholar, and sometimes it's just a saying of a fellow associate and a fellow companion. Now, even though it may hold some weight in this life, and it may seem prestigious, but all prestige and all nobility and all wisdom lies in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statements and the statements of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our criteria always lies in taking those statements of any imam and taking those statements of any scholar and weighing it against the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look throughout history, you will see that this was the methodology that the great imams held. The likes of Abu Hanifa and Nu'man ibn Thabit rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he said that if any statement of mine contradicts the Quran and the Sunnah, then throw it against the walls. And thus you have Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, who said that any man's statement can be accepted and rejected except for the companion of this grave, referring to none other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the methodology of safety and wisdom that was traded by the greatest of this ummah. And this is what granted them the success and the respect that they had obtained. And we have a prolific statement by Umar ibn Khattab when he was with Abu Ubaidah al-Amir ibn Jarrah, the Amin of this ummah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him, as they were on their way to Al-Quds and on their way to Jerusalem, that Abu Ubaidah saw Umar ibn al-Khattab in raggedy clothes that had rips and had patches on it. And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why is it that we see the Persian emperors and the Roman emperors in such luxurious clothing, yet you, Amir al-Mu'mineen, who are more befitting than them and more honorable than them, wear such raggedy clothes? To which Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, and he said, Ya Aba Ubaidah, had these words come from other than you, I would have struck you. And now brothers and sisters, pay attention to these words that come hereafter. Words that are worthy of being written in gold. He said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فَإِذَا ذَهَبْنَا نَبْتَغِي الْعِزَّةَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. That he said that we are a nation whom Allah has honored through Islam. And if we go and seek this honor with other than Allah and with other than His religion, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces His ummah. So we often wonder, when will this ummah be taken out of its misery? When will this ummah return to its unity? When will this ummah return to its state of honor and respect? Indeed, brothers and sisters, this honor and respect will be gained once again when we go back to those original sources and be enlightened by them and delighted by them, that the earliest of generations were enlightened and delighted with. They are none other than the Quran and the Sunnah. This having been said, I think there are two main issues that often disturb the brothers and sisters of our time. And they are none other than issues of the beard and of music. As for the beard, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, grow your beards and trim your mustaches. The noble companion Abdullah ibn Umar narrated this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was known that during the times of Hajj and Umrah, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma would take from his beard and trim it to the level of a fist. This was what was narrated from him in the various books of hadith. So from this hadith, we see the obligation of a man to grow his beard. But we also see that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not define any length to it. So its length is left open. So the beard goes back to its linguistic stance and its linguistic definition, which is anything that is hanging from the face. So a brother, if he takes his beard and has something hanging from its face, then he has fulfilled his obligation. And if he wants to do what is better than that, then he can let it grow a fistful. As for the issue of music, then it is more complicated. You have those ahadith which are mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a time will come where people will make halal that which was haram, and from those things is music. So this having been said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us insight into what the future would hold. And it is none other than the times that we live in today, where we have scholars with all due respect and other speakers and du'at who say that music is permissible. But without looking at the shara'an or the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the legal stance of it, let us look at the potential benefit that music has. What does music actually bring us? The hip-hop culture that it comes with brings nothing but chaos and disrespect to our societies. It brings us disrespect to our women. It brings us a wasting of our wealth. And then, on the other hand, you look at the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and some of the statements that they made towards music. The noble Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he said that music grows hypocrisy in the heart, just like water makes a plant to grow. Look at this parable that Ibn Mas'ud narrates. He says that music makes hypocrisy or nifaq grow in the heart, just like water makes a plant grow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the second verse of Surah Al-Luqman, he mentions how shaitan tries to lead mankind astray. And in this noble ayah, Turjaman al-Qur'an and Habr al-Ummah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that it is none other than music. So putting aside the legal value of it and what the stance of Islam is against music, let us just look at the pros and cons of music itself. We mentioned how it wastes one's time and it wastes one's wealth and increases mankind in nothing but disrespect for his women and his family and his wealth and anything other than that. So one need not go into the legal value of music and the stance of Islam against it, but just look at the pros and the cons. And any wise person who wants to safeguard his deen will stay away from it. Because anything that does not bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed bring you further from it. And we end off again with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "Indeed, I have left you upon a clear white plain. Its night is clear from its day, and no one deviates from it except that he is destroyed." I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us back to the Quran and the Sunnah, and accept it and implement it and learn it and memorize it, just as our predecessors did so. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return the honor, might and respect to this ummah that it's once had. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ending off to send his salah and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.